Why are we going to talk about Kingdom Hearts? No one, that the thing doesn't make any sense at
Why
all.
Why aren't we going to talk about Kingdom Hearts? Look, you don't. It doesn't have to make sense. All you have to know is three things: friendship, light, the power of light, and the darkness within. Done.
Things need to make sense. Things need to make sense.
Who was shocked to learn that Kingdom Hearts was a thing in the world of Kingdom Hearts and not just like the name?
Right, like it wasn't just some like random RPG title. It was actually the object name of the object.
Yeah, because I watched a video. I watched a couple of videos trying to explain the timeline, and they're all like, "And then Ansem opened Kingdom Hearts," and I was like, "What? That's a thing?
What the fuck is? Did they open up an amusement park in the
middle of the game?" No, it's like a magic power.
It's a giant heart that contains all this power, and the bad guy's trying to unlock it.
And if you open Kingdom Hearts, like, watch out, like, shit's getting real. But you also need, like, the seven maidens of power.
It's seven hearts of light and 13 hearts of darkness, which is why the bad guys are called Organization 13.
Mind blown.
I know.
Why are we spending so much time talking about
Kingdom Hearts? Kingdom Hearts just sold 5 million copies.
I told you it would be popular.
You were right. It outsold Resident Evil 2 by a very healthy margin, and I don't think that should surprise anybody, because Kingdom Hearts fans are fucking rabid, and they've literally been waiting 13 years for this true fix.
Just sobbing.
I gotta tell you, I have been playing Kingdom Hearts 3, but I have not played a Kingdom Hearts game since 2006's Kingdom Hearts 2. And Kingdom Hearts may be the only franchise where side stories actually aren't side stories. They're literally integral to the plot. They all exist for a reason. And when you go in with a 13-year gap, the game is hilarious. Because there'll be Disney moments where you're like, yeah, we're fighting Heartless in Rapunzel's world. And look at Flynn Rider. He's such a rapscallion. And then this fucking dude in a black cloak will come out of a portal and be like, I need your body for a replica so that I can create a vessel for a heart of darkness so I can summon the unversed and open Kingdom Hearts. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? At one point, someone used the phrase, what happened to the data, Sora? Implying that at one point, Sora had a copy made of him that was digital data and lived out his own life in a digital copy of the world we're playing in. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on? I remember the first game, when you're like, oh, cool, Disney princesses. Now, who even could tell?
There's a lot less Disney and a lot less Final Fantasy in it.
Actually, yeah. Kogasu's been watching my streams. We all love Kogasu. And we noticed that in this game, especially compared to the first two, there has not actually been a Final Fantasy cameo. The first one had like Squall and Renoa and Aerith and Cid and Cloud and Sephiroth.
Yuffie, everyone's favorite.
And then like part two had like Setzer was in it, and like they were just throwing Final Fantasy characters at us. And then at one point they're like, we have enough bullshit characters of our own. We're good. There's been none.
Yeah, that really takes some of the because the game was originally Final Fantasy X Disney.
Yeah.
And now it's just bullshit in Disney.
I got nothing.
I'm sure people love it. I'm not giving it the time of day.
Okay, so here's my question then, Chris.
Yeah. What?
What? You don't play Kingdom Hearts?
No, I made it halfway through one like five times.
And I know Doug and Josh don't.
Nope.
What world Disney owned IP property that if it was announced would be coming to a future Kingdom Hearts game, would you go, holy shit, I kind of want to play that?
I mean, the obvious answer is like a Star Wars theme world or a Marvel theme world.
I'm losing it. What about Big Hero 6? Doug, we lost your voice. Big Hero 6 is in part 3. Is it? Yeah, we just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, does Star Wars or Marvel would be the two big ones.
What about Buzz Life?
No, everyone hates A Bug's Life. Shut up.
Dude, why not a Cars World at that point if we're just tossing out terrible ideas?
What about a Home on the Range world?
Wait, what did you say, Doug?
A Cars 2 world.
What about Home on the Range world?
I'm not going to lie. Cars. I'm shocked they didn't do a Cars World, considering how massively popular that franchise has been for them.
I want Pulp Fiction. And
you know what? Now that Disney owns Fox, why not an Aliens world?
The X-Men can show up now. Yeah.
Indiana Jones world. I mean, we had Tron and Pirates. Indiana Jones might actually make sense. I want heartless Nazis.
Thanos opens Kingdom Hearts.
The Infinity Gauntlet is Kingdom Hearts.
And eradicates half of all the hearts in the kingdom.
Oh my gosh. Josh is dying.
Matt.
Wait, Matt, can I give my real answer, though?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
I thought a Princess and the Frog world would be awesome. Like, just a Disney-fied New Orleans with the voodoo bad guy.
I would like it if you brought that one in and you somehow mimicked hand animation, like the animated Spider-Man suit.
Oh, God, that was so good.
Because that was the last hand-animated thing they did, you know?
Matt, can I tell you that I did watch the Let It Go sequence from Kingdom Hearts 3?
I'm not there yet.
I'll just tell you, because it's not a spoiler. It's the entire sequence of Let It Go from Frozen, and then it cuts to Sora, Donald, and Goofy going, "Gosh, that's weird." It's wild. It's just,
what I love is when they do, because normally the first Kingdom Hearts game, you entered the world and the plot always took place after the movies. Like the points of the plot of the movies had already played out, and you're coming in and interacting with this world after the fact. But in Kingdom Hearts 3 so far, they're like, in the Tangled world, you literally play out through the movie. So you're just reliving the movie, and then at key moments like the death of Flynn Rider, where Rapunzel's hair is sobbing into his lifeless corpse, and then it pans over to Sora, Donald, and Goofy, and they're just like, "Yeah, we're here too, guys." Gorsh. It kind of
awkward.
I thought he's still crying.
Saki did still cry.
That Resident Evil 2 remake is really good.
I'm sorry, what? That was last week. We're talking about current events.
What if they did a crossover and Goofy has to go into the Resident Evil?
Kingdom Hearts to defeat the T-Virus.
Five Nights at Goofy, Saki says.
Oh,
we can talk about your Lord and Savior, Lord. Sure.
No, shut up.
Okay.
I'm just, I don't know anymore, Matt. I don't know.
Matt, it's okay. I just say,
Matt, there's a 3-word answer for that. It's called no shut up.
So I got
a top 25 list for you.
Oh, do you?
Yes. A blast from the past, as it were. Cast your mind back to the year 2000.
Oh, no.
And cast your mind back to the fledgling IGN offices of the year 2000 as they rank the top 25 PC games of all time from June of 2000.
Can we go to the Wayback Machine and look at what the IGN website looked like in 2000?
I am certainly not stopping you.
Just remember, in the year 2000, a lot of people didn't know Limp Bizkit sucked.
It's true. They were very big.
Nickelback wasn't a joke yet. They were like number two.
Never a joke.
Rap rock was really taking off in America. We had unbridled optimism.
In the year 2000.
Right. I want to point out, I just typed in music in 2000 just to give you a brief foray into what our culture looked like in 2000. These were the top songs. Are you ready?
Yeah,
we were doing it all for the Nookie.
Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears.
Oh.
I Played With Your Heart, got lost in the game. A little song called Bye 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 by NSYNC. Also, 2000 was the year Eminem blew up because we got the real Slim Shady.
TRL year.
This was definitely NSYNC's year because we also got It's Gonna Be May.
It's gonna be May.
Also, some bands that we've never heard from since. Remember Nelly?
Yeah.
Because Nelly debuted in 2000 with Country Grammar.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long, long time.
Can I point out that 2000 was also the year of Kryptonite from Three Doors Down?
Oh, nice.
It's also the first Pink single.
It all worked. Well, there you go. And we who let the dogs out, of course. Everyone jam from the year 2000.
Those poor Baja men.
Who
they'll are never, the Baja men? They'll never figure it out.
We got Sorry, Miss Jackson.
Ooh.
That was a good song. That was the only one people still sing.
Mystical came out with Shake Your Ass. Watch
I stand corrected. That is also one of
you guys. How do I post an image? This
rabbit hole goes so much deeper. Backstreet Boys was still
there.
Around.
We go.
All right, we're oh, of course, Ricky Martin, 2000. Who can forget Ricky Martin?
Is it Livin' La Vida Loca?
No,
I just saw an older Ricky Martin in that Gianni Versace American Crime Story season.
All right, does everybody see what the IGN website page on May 11th, 2000 looks like?
No.
I don't know. You don't know what you're doing.
I'm trying to do a screen thing.
It's the green thing on the left-hand side that says screen share.
All right.
There it is.
Okay.
All right. There we go.
Oh
my God.
Do y'all see that Dino Crisis 2? Y'all see that?
Ooh.
Bringing us the dead.
This is what their website looked like in May of May 11th. Oh, they have
a section for men that is babes, cars, and et cetera.
Because IGN used to have it was almost like a Maxim thing at that point. It was like video games, but also look at this girl in a bikini. Wait, keep talking, Josh. I want to see.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we have Bringing Out the Dead. We got the Xbox Files. I don't remember the Xbox. Oh, it's about the new Xbox website. The Grinch trailer. Remember that Jim Carrey Grinch movie? Dino Crisis 2.
Josh,
I have to say, I think that should be the next remake.
Wait, hold on, everybody. Wrestling. Triple H's first era as champion. I just thought Chris would get a kick out of that.
Wow, that's he's on his 13th reign as champion. Yeah.
Josh, click on that E3 daily thing.
Oh, the E3 daily thing?
Yeah, that was one of the links. Oh. E3 daily.
Okay, I'm clicking on that link at this moment, and it's loading up.
Let's see what E3 2000 was like. Also, Kogasa's in chat. Everyone say hey.
I don't know if it's going to work that way because it's like the Wayback Machine, so it's like a screenshot of that website.
Damn.
Womp womp.
That's unfortunate. So if you're just catching up, Kogasu, basically, we are about to delve into the reason we are in the Wayback Machine is because Chris found a list from the far past of 2000, and it was in IGN's early days, and we're going to look at their top 25 PC games of all time through the lens of 2000. The world just recovered from Y2K. And we were not afraid to use our computers anymore.
So yeah. I want you to give. I'm not sure how we want to rate this. I guess give your vote whether it should be in the top 100.
How about this? Let's just say, did it hold up?
Okay.
Because I have a feeling, a strong feeling, that none of them did.
Well, let's see.
One of them is Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's see. Number 25 is Duke Nukem 3D.
I mean,
I guess
it still kind of holds up. It's still playable.
Yeah. If one of these is like Doom or something, I think it'll hold up. But I don't know about the rest.
I mean, the thing is, Duke Nukem, like maybe in 2000, Duke Nukem was still a big deal. But I don't think in any way, shape, or form would that hold up today.
I think it would be one of the lower numbers.
It wouldn't, like, they wouldn't write it the way they did If they did, it would just become a controversy and then fizzle out. There's no way you can get away with Duke Nukem right now.
No, but I think like historically, I think it would be like in the 100, like the 90s.
Maybe.
I think it still holds up. Number 24, Wasteland. I think Wasteland has been replaced fully by Fallout. So
yeah.
Well, also Wasteland was like it's a CRPG, so it's been replaced fully this generation with the new resurgence of the genre, like Divinity: Original Sin and Pillars of Eternity, and actually Wasteland 3.
Yeah, this was the 1988 release, but it's been done. Number 23, Unreal Tournament.
Yeah. Oh wow!
Been replaced by literally everything now.
Yeah. Sorry,
the engine is still relevant. Everything else.
Yeah, the engine is relevant, but not the franchise. Like, can you imagine just being Epic Games? This is a slight tangent, but my God, how great is it to work at Epic Games? Not only create Gears of War, and you're a legacy company because you created the Unreal Tournament series, but then you're like, you know what, our engine is pretty damn good. Let's license it. And suddenly, 90% of all games are made from the Unreal Engine.
Yeah.
Then you make Gears of War, and then you go, fuck it, Fortnite. So not only is every other game licensing you, but now you're also making millions of dollars a day selling skins. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, like you never had to make another Unreal. Like it wasn't even like they could have, but why? Quake was Unreal Tournament the next year. You know what I mean? Like everything changed, and then like they just licensed out the engine. That's it. That's all you ever needed to do. It's brilliant, actually.
Number 22, Syndicate. Peter Molyneux's early PC game.
Yeah, I've literally never thought about that again. So
I remember when they tried to bring it back and revive it.
Weird.
Oh yeah, they did, didn't they? Number 21, Aces of the Pacific.
Oh yes, the timeless classic, Aces of the Pacific.
Yeah, I feel like there's been so many better fighting game air fighting games. That...
Chris, do you remember where you were the first time you played Aces of the Pacific?
I can tell you. Let me tell you about the time I built a computer from scratch just so I could make sure I could run Aces of the Pacific.
If I had played Aces of the Pacific as a child, who knows where I'd be today?
Clearly in a better place. Poor Josh.
What?
I don't know. You just look so like zoned out. Do you not remember Aces of the Pacific, Josh?
Not at all. I didn't really play many PC games before 2000.
Don't worry. Aces of the Pacific was one no one played.
Yeah, I don't know that this would hold mustard nowadays. Sam and Max Hit the Road is number 20.
Well, Sam and Max series,
I feel, holds up, but that's just the whole point and click adventure LucasArts games in general.
Yeah.
Does the original still hold up, or have the newer ones taken its place?
See, that's a hard question because it's been so long since I've touched the original. The most recent Sam and Max, I think for most people, was Telltale's Sam and Max.
Yeah.
Which kind of revitalized it. So I don't know. I want to say that pedigree and name, I'd put it at least in the top 100.
Okay.
Whether or not it holds up, I think there's been way better point-and-click adventure games since.
I think The Walking Dead kind of nukes that.
I don't know. I think that's different.
Is it?
Walking Dead, like from Telltale, from Walking Dead onward, was a completely different company from beforehand. Do you remember... Before Walking Dead, Telltale was doing they did the Back to the Future game, they did the Strong Bad game.
And the Jurassic Park game, yeah.
Jurassic Park, and they did Sam and Max. No, Jurassic Park was post, was it? No, what? I don't know. They were two different companies, basically.
Okay. Let's see, number 19 is Homeworld from Sierra and Relic Entertainment. I've never heard of this.
Chris, do you remember Sins of the Solar Empire?
Sure do.
That was basically Homeworld.
Okay. Well, yep. All right, number 18 is Wing Commander 2, Vengeance of the Kilrathi.
Oh, Wing Commander.
I have never played a Wing Commander game.
No, but like, I still have memories. This is more than all the other games so far because I still have vivid memories of Wing Commander. It's weird. Maybe it's because later they have Mark Hamill. I don't know. And a big lion man.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
Now, this next one, Chris, can I say it?
You might. You may.
Because this next one still is in my top 10 games of all time. And that is Command & Conquer Red Alert. The pinnacle. Mm,
yeah.
Westwood in the late 90s just could not be stopped between Command & Conquer and Blade Runner. Man, I missed them. But yeah, Red Alert took so much of my childhood. We played it for so long. It was also one of the first games to have online, so you could play against other people around the world, which was just mind-boggling. Chris, would you be the Soviets or would you be Europe?
I would probably be the Soviets. I think Tim Curry leads the Soviets.
Tim Curry leads the Soviets.
So, well,
Red Alert 2, but same thing.
Yeah. Number 16 is Populous 2, Trials of the Olympian Gods. Another Peter Molyneux game.
Nope.
I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
It's incredible how high we all were on Peter Molyneux before the unpleasantness.
Well, that's because he brought you Fable, Chris.
He also brought us, what was it, Milo?
Oh, yes, everyone's favorite Project Natal demo.
Project Natal.
But wasn't that the last thing that he did?
No, the last thing he did was, it was a huge flop. Oh, man, what was it? Hold on. Keep talking, Chris.
I don't know. I actually think the first Fable would probably be like his last really great game, even though it didn't deliver any of the promises that...
There we go. His last game was Goddess, G-O-D-U-S. It was supposed to be a return to form to the his previous game, Black and White, which was like a god.
Yeah.
It had a big Kickstarter, and then it never left early access, and then it got canceled.
That's right. I remember all that. That was fun.
Was it?
Yeah, I like hearing Kickstarter stories of when things go bad.
Why?
Okay. I don't know. It just kind of makes me laugh a little bit.
Kickstarter is a lot like pretty much anything else where people love to, and they'll remember the failures and then point to that as a reason not to support it and just willfully ignore the dozens and dozens of high-profile games that have been successes from Kickstarter. And they're like, oh, wait, that was a Kickstarter game? I'm like, yeah.
No. I love Kickstarter, and I think there deserves to be a place for Kickstarter. I just think that when people like Peter Molyneux fail on a huge level on Kickstarter, I find that very funny.
Oh, you're right. And Friday number 9 would have been hilarious had I not been suckered in from it.
Yeah, that's a real problem for you.
And me.
And all of you.
I didn't do it.
I like when Spike Lee's Kickstarter failed. That was my personal favorite.
Number 15 probably still deserves to be here, SimCity 2000.
Yeah.
Although I think it's been outclassed by City Skyline.
I don't know. City 3000 is still my standard bearer for it.
2000 or 3000?
3000.
Mm. Okay, well, 3000 didn't exist yet, so.
No, but I'm just saying.
All right. I think City Skyline is better.
But that's the problem. It's like most EA franchises, it got replaced because they just stopped making them.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Number 14, Star Wars TIE Fighter.
Oh, wow.
I love this game. I don't know that it holds up because I haven't been able to find a joystick to play it. But I don't know. Maybe in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. There hasn't been a good space combat game since then, really.
No.
Not really.
What about Star Citizen, Chris?
Is that out?
No.
Of course,
It's an eternal beta. You can play it if you want to pay.
No Man's Sky's got some stuff, so that's cool.
Oh, I was thinking we should take a little side note and talk about the Anthem demo that happened that I spent 30 minutes on after spending a few hours trying to log in to the servers, and then 30 minutes of a pile of hot steaming garbage. Oh my god. Pile of hot steaming garbage.
Who was that?
I don't know. I don't like it. I had the complete opposite reaction. I had a group to play with. The game did crash out on me a few times. Three or four times in the two sessions I had.
Yeah.
But granted that it was like a pre-alpha build.
What game?
Anthem.
Oh yeah, we played it together.
We did. It was a pre-alpha build, and you know, I can kind of forgive that. So I respectfully disagree. I thought it was fine.
Here's the problem though. It was fine, it was fun, but in this day and age, the fact that they're treating it like a Destiny game, is it a game that is going to keep your interest and keep you coming back playing month after month?
Mm-hmm. Is it worth cutting out Mass Effect Andromeda from it and throwing that into the shitter?
I mean, you can feel the Mass Effect DNA in Anthem because the combat with a group plays just like Mass Effect 3's co-op.
There's also a very similar mechanic. There's something that directly resembles the terraforming device. Like, it's like the West of Andromeda. And if you put those two games together, you get something stellar. You separate them, and you have, like, two okay games that don't, like, actually hold water by themselves. Like,
we don't know if Anthem will be okay or not. I think Anthem's got some potential we can work with.
I don't think it's going to be what they're trying to make it.
Maybe.
A direct competitor for Destiny. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, but I don't think so.
I don't know. It was too clunky. I think everything had a weight to it. It didn't seem like anything flowed really well. The combat seemed like, oh, okay, this is Mass Effect. Why are you doing this to me? And I didn't like it that I could only pick one of the javelins.
Well, you had to level up to get the other ones.
Yeah, but 30 minutes of, you know, not hooking me in. So PC games.
Number 13, Alone in the Dark.
Oh, I remember.
The 1992
movie. Ooh, Alone in the Dark.
I feel like there have been way scarier PC games that have come out.
Huh.
The isosceles triangle has two...
Excuse me? What about an isosceles triangle?
Are you learning geometry while we're trying to talk?
Yes. I was trying to pull something up and it auto-played an ad.
For isosceles triangles?
Look, I don't know. Chris, what's number 12?
Number 12 is something called Elite. I'm not sure what that is.
I don't know either. Look, here's the Firebirds Elite was one of the greatest games ever made. Sure, buddy.
I mean, maybe we've never heard of it, so you know.
Okay, it says other games influenced. Let's see. This was one of the first space combat sims, so it influenced games like Wing Commander and stuff like that. This is from 1987.
Okay. Number 11, Diablo. Wow, they apparently hated Diablo 2.
Maybe Diablo 2 didn't come out yet.
No, they said, okay, so we didn't go goo goo gaga over Diablo 2.
Really?
Oh, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Diablo 2.
You know what? I actually prefer Diablo 1 to Diablo 2 because I have so much more nostalgia for Diablo 1.
Yeah, that's true.
Diablo 2 came out like 2000, right? Like in
roughly.
Yeah, it had just come out apparently by this time.
Yeah, so Diablo 2 didn't really like catch fire until like 2001, 2002 because of the online aspect of it.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, what's the better Diablo, 1, 2, or 3? if you could only put one on a list.
No, if you can put one Diablo on the list.
Two. For me, personally. I mean, I would
say three.
I would say three also.
Really?
Yeah. Diablo 2 has never sucked me in, but Diablo 3 worked for me.
For me, that's why. Because I just remember, they're all good, but 2 is the only one that I dedicated any significant amount of time to.
Sure.
I played 3 and I thought it was consistent with the other two, but it had been 15 years or whatever, and I thought it just was juvenile and silly, and it took me out of it.
That's the same way. It came out, and so much had advanced and changed since 2, but it felt like 3 just was a prettier 2.
It was also, it suffered from being after StarCraft 2, so I was expecting that level of jump.
Yeah.
And instead, it was another Diablo game. It was exactly the same. The graphics were better, but like, it wasn't like a better story or more complex or anything. You know, StarCraft really, it like shoved a bunch of Firefly in there. It got way more in depth, you know?
StarCraft 2 was a huge upgrade.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's number 10, Chris?
Number 10 is Half-Life 1. Okay. So I think we can all agree it was way surpassed by Half-Life 2.
And Half-Life 3 just wipes the floor with them.
I love Half-Life 3.
Yeah. I like Half-Life 2.2.
Yeah. I have all 52 of the games, none of which are 3.
Yeah.
They came with my Steam box or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember Orange Box. Orange Box was one of the greatest things that had come out. Like, that was unprecedented.
Yes. Yeah. Number 9 is something called Master of Magic from Simtex and MicroProse.
I'm sorry?
Master of Magic? It looks like it's from a Heroes of Might and Magic kind of world.
Oh, like RPG-ish?
Yeah.
Okay. It looks like a fantasy... The way I'm reading it, it reads like Sid Meier's Civilization, but in a fantasy setting.
Oh. That's kind of cool.
Master of Magic?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought it was going to be like Stage Magicians. How lame.
number 8 is Doom.
There we go.
Doom
not only is super relevant right now, but I would play the original game again. Like, I just for fun, I would just sit down and play that. That Wolfenstein Doom format is still enjoyable. Like, even looking shitty. It's fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't even look good.
I agree. And I think the 2016 Doom is one of the best games of the decade. But there's still something about loading up original Doom that's very comforting.
Yeah, it's like a.
And I think it's one of those things that kids of a certain generation, just will not understand why Doom deserves to be here, and other kids are just like, this game is terrible.
I picture kids of this generation looking at Doom and being like, "Wow, this is a sick Minecraft mod."
Oh my god!
No. Yeah, that's yeah.
Let that sink in.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think you're underestimating them. I think you're directly estimating them properly when you say they would think it's a Minecraft mod. But when you say they wouldn't like it, I think if you get them to play it for longer than a minute and a half, they'll play the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, at first look, they're going to be like, this looks like garbage. And then a little bit in, you won't care. It's you know... Your imagination
will have to kick in. Number 7 is StarCraft 1. Or I guess StarCraft, because we hadn't gotten to 2 yet.
Yeah.
StarCraft.
Had there been a Brood War yet? Was there even a expansion?
Brood War came out in 2000, I think.
Oh. Yeah, with the Doom 2. I mean, with the Diablo 2. Yeah. Because it used to be like one after the other, kind of.
Hold on, I'm looking up right now. StarCraft Brood War came out in 99. So it was out.
Okay.
So it looks like they're just considering it, because back in the day, expansion packs were considered part of the main game.
Yeah, that just finished the game.
Yeah. Like Warcraft 3's Frozen Throne was still just Warcraft 3.
Which, don't you wish like that was still a thing? Like, oh, yeah. That would have made the middle games between Assassin's Creed's like, it makes the number meaningful.
Yeah, you know? Like I think like Brotherhood and oh god, what was the other one?
Revelations
should have just been.
Here you go. Yeah. like just download these. They're never coming out on disc. It's part of your game, you know.
And then afterwards, you release a full price.
Deluxe.
Assassin's Creed 2 is complete.
Yeah.
Yeah, not anymore, guys. Those days are done.
No, yeah. We're not even going to finish the game before we sell it to you.
Has anyone played the remastered StarCraft?
Yes.
Is it good?
No, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, they remade 1 in the engine of 2.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the Blizzard launcher on you know, whatever, on battle.net.
And it's completely
ruined my life. I've got to go.
Sorry.
Number 6 is Tetris.
I don't know. I hesitate to call that a PC game, even though that's where it started, because to me, it was the Game Boy that made it blow up.
Yeah, it's a Game Boy game and then a phone game. It launched both of those things. Like, there wouldn't be games on your phone. It still, Tetris started coming with your phone. Like, and then you're like, ooh. And then you're in line or something and you're playing Tetris. It's the perfect game for a portable.
Here's a fun question. Who can name, besides Chris, who's looking at the same thing I am, the 3 sequels to Tetris?
What?
The creator of Tetris tried, he made 3 follow-up games to try and capitalize on the success of Tetris, and all were miserable failures.
Did he make Zoop?
No. So Hattris, Weltris, and Facetris.
What? I have never heard of these until I saw this on this sentence.
Me either. I mean, probably because they never came out of Russia.
Did they do well in Russia?
No.
No, because you could pirate everything in Russia. No one pays for anything.
Yeah. All right, what do we got?
Crazy.
Number 5, Ultima Underworld, the Stygian Abyss. I have never played an Ultima game.
This is I think this is Ultima 3? I don't know. There's so many Ultima games.
There are so many Ultima games.
I've never played a single one, though.
No. So I guess it belongs. Number 4, Civilization.
It got replaced by every other Civilization game.
I think Civilization 5 is the best.
Have you played 6 yet?
No, not yet.
I think Civilization is one of the few games where each sequel is successively better than the previous because it builds on them iteratively, and it never feels like I don't know. It's weird. It's hard to put into words, but it's one of the few franchises that you don't go back and be like, oh, I miss Civilization X.
Yeah, I miss Civilization 3.
No, you didn't. God damn that, Josh.
I have a friend who still plays like the Civilization 2 or whatever like on his computer.
I still play Civilization 3.
I've seen the YouTube video of the eternal civilization that someone
oh,
built.
Yeah.
It's pretty right. Wild.
Insane.
Number 3 is Sid Meier's Pirates.
Okay.
Is this better or is the remade version that came out on the Xbox better?
Probably the Sid Meier's Pirates remake, but I don't know because I never played the original.
It came out in 1988 when I don't think anyone had a computer.
It's true. I know I didn't.
I didn't. Number 2, Dune 2, Building of a Dynasty.
Oh, yeah, Westwood back at it. This was the game. This was the first RTS game.
Yes.
The first real-time strategy that paved the way for Warcraft, StarCraft, Command & Conquer, all of it. this game is really good, but it's really hard to go back to because you realize all the quality of life things that they've added to the genre since Dune. And then you go back and you're like, oh, this is hard. This is bad. I don't know how I can do this. It does not hold up, but you gotta give it props for being the granddaddy of the entire genre.
Okay. Nope, never played it.
Nope.
Finally, number one, the greatest PC game of all time, XCOM UFO Defense.
Man. What?
XCOM, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I only know of XCOM as the game that crazy OCD people play nowadays.
Yeah. What did the old XCOM look like?
Oh, it was rough. Here, I'll show you.
While you're pulling that up, I have a list of honorable mentions.
Okay.
We have Sword of the Samurai.
Oh, yeah.
Master of Orion. Ultimas 3 and 4. A Bard's Tale. Road War 2000 and Road War Europa. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Tribes. Quake 2. Mail Order Monsters. Warcraft 2. That's a game I've heard of. Castles. Shards of Spring. King's Quest 5. Get the fuck out of here with that.
King's Quest 6 is the best. What the fuck?
Get out of here. Give it to 3. Get out of here. Losers.
3.
It's 6.
It's not.
Alexander of Daventry shits all over King's Quest 3, sir.
Alexander's the main character of King's Quest 3 too, idiot.
First of all, I bet we're talking about the same game because it's exactly like Final Fantasy.
I know, right?
King's Quest 6 is the best King's Quest game, bar none.
No, it's not. The Secret of Monkey Island. Zork. System Shocks 1 and 2. Shocking that System Shock 2 didn't make the list.
All right, Josh, I'm talking so you can see the screenshot of what
Xbox. You know, if you click someone's portrait at the bottom, you could just see their screen.
Okay, well, click my screen, Josh, so you can see.
That's awful.
That's XCOM, baby.
Where was I? Centurion, The Pool of Radiance, Baldur's Gate, Starflight, Maniac Mansion, Day of the Tentacle, Grim Fandango, Wolfenstein 3D, Fallout, Myth, Star Control, Battletech, The Crescent Hawk's Inception, and Star Control 2.
Wait up, these were all
honorable mentions. I can't believe Myst wasn't even like an honorable mention.
Or Blade Runner.
You know what? I'll accept Blade Runner. There's a lot of things that I'm surprised didn't even make the cut.
Yeah. Like Quake.
Yeah, but Quake 2? Really?
I know.
None of it makes any sense.
No. I mean this was 2000. It was a less enlightened time.
It was a less enlightened time.
So
yes, it was.
Let's jump ahead 7 years to 2007. They remade the list. Let's see what they did.
Okay, let's speed it up a bit. We'll end it after this list.
Yeah. So number 25, Il 2 Sturmovik, another flight simulator for World War II.
But they really like their
flight simulators used to be like really popular.
They really did.
Number 24, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six. Which is weird because they released in 98, but it wasn't good enough to put on the other list, apparently.
Test of time.
Number 23, Unreal Tournament 2004.
Oh, they upgraded.
Yeah. Number 22, The Sims.
Okay, wait, real quick, Chris. Sorry. I'm looking at the Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six screenshot. And I cannot, I keep forgetting what that era of 3D PC games always looked like. Human models were so bad.
They're not great.
All the time. Like, I'm looking at this and be like, at one point, people thought this was the future.
This was as good as it was going to get.
Yeah.
Number 21, MechWarrior 2 31st Century Combat, one of my favorite games. But it also came out in 95 and wasn't good enough then. So.
Oh, there you go, Chris. Number 20, baby.
Number 20, Deus Ex, greatest game of all time.
That game does deserve to be on the list. And it still holds up because you can mod the graphics into not looking like a piece of garbage.
I know, isn't that nice?
Yeah. Oh, that game looked rough.
Number 19, Warcraft 2, The Tide of Darkness.
Huh.
Yes.
Number 18, Call of Duty, Vanilla.
Is that what we're going to call it?
That's what I'm calling it.
2003, Vanilla. Call of Duty, Vanilla.
Number 17, World of Warcraft.
Yeah, there's no way that wasn't making the list.
No. Number 16. Wait,
think about it. In 2007, Chris, that is when the second expansion, the Frozen Throne, or what was that
one? Burning Crusade.
No, that was the first expansion.
Okay, so the second one was...
The ice one, where you fought Arthas. The damn it.
I forget what it's called.
Hold on.
Okay.
The Lich King.
Oh, that's right.
That was terrible. The game has never hit the highs it hit during Wrath of the Lich King.
It's still super popular, though. It's crazy. Number 16, The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion.
Nope. Fuck that noise.
Okay.
I think it's good.
I think for 2007, I would have put it on my list. Number 15, Grim Fandango. Okay. Boy, they really went back on some of these decisions.
I know, right? They really rethought that. They were like, oh, this was actually a good game.
Oh, sorry. Number 14, Company of Heroes.
That was a fun-ass game.
Oh, that was a good game.
Number 13, System Shock 2.
There you go.
Sorry, Tetris. Our bad.
Don't know why we put Tetris on this list, but System Shock is now on the list.
Number 12, Battlefield 1942.
Oh, real quick, has any of the first list games made it to this list?
Well, we just got one. Number 11, Sid Meier's Pirates.
Okay.
Next page.
Age of Empires 2.
Age of Empires 2, yeah. I don't care for the Age of Empires series.
Yeah, they're not as good.
Number 9, Half-Life 2. That should probably be way higher, but what do I know?
Nothing, literally.
Uh-huh. Number 8.
SimCity still made it.
Number 8, SimCity 2000. Number 7, Baldur's Gate 2, The Shadows of
Yeah, that was the big expansion of Baldur's Gate 2, I believe. No, I'm thinking of the wrong thing. That's the base game.
Number 6, StarCraft in the same spot.
Nice.
Number 5, Fallout. Fuck you, Wasteland.
Yeah.
Number 4, Rome Total War.
Interesting. Yeah. Total War games were huge in that timeline.
It's true.
Yeah, they were.
Number 3, TIE Fighter. That bumped up a lot.
Yeah.
Number 2, Civilization 4.
See, told you. Once a new Civilization game comes out, it just replaces it.
And number 1... XCOM UFO Defense.
Really?
Still.
Still.
That game cannot be that good.
Apparently it's great.
It is really damn good, Josh.
I don't believe it.
Hey, I didn't make the list. Talk to IGN of 2007.
Well, IGN's got its own little thing that it does. Those people.
Those people? What do you mean by those people?
That's exactly what I mean. They're those people.
Uh-huh.
They're the type of people that will put XCOM UFO Defender number 1 on this list and forget about all the other PC games that have come out.
I just think it's funny that it was still the best game 7 years later.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy talk.
That's fun. All right. Those were some good lists.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Cool. I'm glad I'm just talking about lists to myself.
Lists, but I keep... It really just drives home Julian and or Kagasu and chat's going like IGN gave God Hand a 3 out of 10.
Well, we all know that God Hand is the greatest game ever.
God Hand might be the best game that got a the the short end of the stick by IGN, because when God Hand came out, IGN and Game Informer were like the only two places people gave any stock in for reviews. And so when God Hand got a 3, people like lost their mind. They were like, this must be a shit game. And then you find out that it's because the guy was so bad at the game, he couldn't make any progress. Oh, can you imagine if someone gave the Dark Souls and Demon Souls a 2?
Oh.
It was too hard.
Man.
But yeah. Anyway, what I was trying to say was, Chris, the thing that drives home these lists for me is the fact that I did not play PC much in the 90s. Outside of Westwood games like Command & Conquer and Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. I was a console. I was doing Super Nintendo. I was doing PlayStation. I was doing N64. I was not gaming on my PC very much. And I think it's because at the time, if you had a PC at home, you weren't building the art of building a computer to play games was kind of unheard of. You were using it for schoolwork, or you were just at the school's computer lab.
Yeah.
So many of these games I never really touched.
Yeah, I agree. We had a PC, but it was not a gaming PC. It was just, hey, I need to do work at home, and if it plays games, that's cool. So I remember buying Diablo 2, and then it wouldn't run, and I didn't understand why. and then my uncle was like, your computer's not strong enough for this. Like, computers have strength levels? it was very sad for Chris, who had to return Diablo 2.
It was a different time.
Also, you know, my favorite thing is I just clicked on a link for top 25 Game Boy Advance games, also from 2007, and people are still commenting on it.
Wow.
That is hilarious.
Wait, what are they commenting on?
The top 25 Game Boy Advance game list from 2007.
Oh, can we hold down to that for next time?
Yeah, sure. There's a game that has a comment from 2 months ago.
Dude,
read the comment.
What are Advance card games? 13, Metroid Fusion 22, thumbs up emoji, okay sign emoji. But seriously, Metroid Fusion and the Minish Cap are obviously the best GBA games.
Oh my god, okay.
Dude, that would be a great place to start a, like, secret community is on a comment thread from, like, 2000 on some obscure video game. You just start, you know, you can just plan anything you want. A revolution.
Right?
It's true. This is a fact.
You can go to the past and have discussions.
I have a question for Doug and Josh.
Yeah.
Did either of you play Advance Wars?
Nope.
No. Do you know what that is?
Yep.
I remember hearing the name, but I don't remember.
It was Nintendo's like art strategy game, like Fire Emblem, but it was done in a modern day war setting. Because weird. They just came out with a game called Wargroove.
Yeah.
I have been cracked out on. It's basically Axiom Verge was to Metroid. Wargroove is to Wars. It's exactly. Basically the developer going, well, if Nintendo's not going to make one for over a decade, I guess we are. It's so.
Yeah,
it's so good.
I love it when companies are like, you know what, just fuck it, we'll just do it ourselves.
Yeah,
let's just make that game. Right.
The first thing that popped up is that players are making Advanced Wars and Fire Emblem maps inside Wargroove.
Yeah, because it has the most ridiculous creator and editor in it. You can actually create your own cutscenes and campaign story modes.
Oh my god!
Upload them for people to play.
Okay, I might have to check that out.
It's on Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and computer.
Yes.
Really darn good. Wargroove. I'm going to give you a hint right now. I'm doing a review for it, right? And guess what the tagline is for the review? How Advance Wars got its groove back.
No. But also,
I'm so proud of it.
I would allow that to be published. I got to give it to you. I wanted to hate it.
But you can't because it's so good.
But it's a good headline. It's a good.
No. No, Matt. You're not allowed to publish that.
All right.
You are. Publish it. I like it.
Yeah, no.
It's right there. You have to.
Yeah.
It is there. I got nothing.
Ah.
Josh is exhausted by life right now. How long without coffee, Josh? Can you do math without coffee?
All right. Well, on that note, I guess we're done. So next week we will not be here. Next week we're busy.
How come whenever you talk about this, you lose the ability to speak?
Look, I want to point out, I am still doing my Kingdom Hearts 3 stream series where I play the game with no prior knowledge. You should join me and Kogasu because we have a lot of fun, and it sure would be nice to be supported by my Nola Nerdcast buddies, Chris.
Can I join you anytime?
Yeah, please.
Can you send me an invite anytime?
Sure.
Can I play another game while you're doing it?
Sure.
Can we be in chat together?
Yeah.
And then you can tell me all about your amazing adventures in Disneyland?
Yeah, it'll be fun. I just entered the Monsters, Inc. world, and I got to tell you, Goofy is fucking horrifying.
I don't care for Monsters, Inc.
It's one of my least favorite Pixar films, but you know what? Who even cares? I just like it. It's somehow different. Movies I don't care for as much, when it's in a Kingdom Hearts world, I'm interacting with them, and I'm like, I'm in a Disney game. I like it better somehow.
Yeah.
Unless they try and make a Hunchback of Notre Dame world, in which case I'll just turn the game off and delete it.
That's okay. That's you assuming there'll be a Kingdom Hearts 4 released in our lifetime.
There'll never be a Kingdom Hearts 4, but you damn well know there's going to be 17 more spinoffs.
Yeah, why? That's okay. They'll be on like your phone. You won't have to play them.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
So we're out. We'll be gone. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Everyone say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
That's Chris and Josh and Doug, and we love you guys.
We love everybody who tunes in.
Yes.
Yay.
Much love.